Their way back, commuting from wherever, Orange County and San Diego. We'll give them a couple more minutes. There'll be a few guys kind of making their way in. In the meantime, let me go over a few announcements. For first time signups, we have guys, if this is the first time you've been here, or if you haven't signed up for the study yet, go ahead and put your name down on the signup sheet in the back. We will assign you to a group. We are building additional groups, and we have some room in other groups, so we'll be plugging into these groups. It's important to get into the group. That's where a lot of the growth happens. That's where you're going to really get deep into the materials that we're covering here. So make sure you take advantage of the group. You need a book. We have them. So get a book. And for those of you that don't know, you're just going to follow along with the message tonight, filling in the blanks. And then before your small group next week, what you want to do is kind of review that material, answer those questions, and be ready to kind of see what, you know, share what the Lord has shown you through some of those questions. Audio messages will be and are available online. They're on the Calvary Marietta website under Ministries, under Men. And you'll see the last three studies are there. And then we'll have tonight's study there as well. Okay. We have a... Chad is not able to make it tonight. He's out speaking at Liberty University for Veterans Day. So we have one of his staff members coming to speak for us. Brandon spoke on our initial launch day. He spoke at one of the sessions there, and he's a retired U.S. Marine Staff Sergeant. He's had multiple deployments to both Iraq and to Afghanistan. He now serves as the National Program Director for Mighty Oaks Warrior Programs. And he's here to teach on character tonight. So welcome, Brandon.
All right, how we doing?
Great.
Where is the slide advancer? Is it up here? No worries. All right, so a lot of things in my hands right now. Awkward. So it's interesting that I give this period of instruction. I talk all the time, and you put a microphone in my hand, and it absolutely goes horrible. I don't know what it is about when you put a microphone in your hand. It just changes everything. So bear with me. Hopefully I don't trip over this cord. So. Anybody here for the first time? All right. Legacy one that Chad was here was, who was the first time for that one? All right, so everybody else was pretty much here on that Saturday, understands what this is all about, what you're doing here. We remember the rules, promises, and all that stuff, right? Now, as far as the guys that were here for Legacy, what were some of the things that you walked away from that lesson? Anything? Not everybody at one time. Chad must have did a really good job. So legacy is living today with the end in mind, right? Does that help propel anything? All right, so what are some of the things that we need to do to make sure that we leave that legacy that we all want to leave? I'm sorry? Be intentional. Be strategic.
Share
the successes. What else do we need to share? Those failures, right? And it's thank you, by the way, for that. And it's really interesting. I never for once can remember me thinking about leaving a legacy. I don't even think that thought even crossed my mind whatsoever. The term legacy really didn't even mean anything to me whatsoever, from when I was a child to a knucklehead growing up to a United States Marine. Like, it just never dawned on me. When I got the actual class that really made me start to look at what type of legacy I was going to live, because we're going to leave one regardless, right? It's not a choose your own destiny kind of thing, where you don't want to leave, where you don't have to leave one. It's going to happen. So the class that we're going to go over tonight, that lesson, character, ultimately is that thing that's going to make or break your legacy that you're going to be leaving. When I look at that legacy, living today with the end in mind, character is that framework. Who's in construction here? So we understand what framework is, right? If you don't have a good foundation, what's the point of putting your frame up for your house? What's the point? It's going to collapse, right? I didn't have that foundation. I had no clue what that meant. I had no idea how to do it. So when this character class came up, talk about a gut punch, a big gut punch. December of 2013, I went through our Mighty Oaks Warrior programs. It was at that time called Fight Club, which we now renamed it to the Legacy Program. But I was stuck as a recovering service member at Wounded Warrior Battalion West here at Camp Pendleton. I had some injuries that finally caught up to me. And I went from leading a platoon of guys to taking care of myself. I had no clue how to do that whatsoever. You guys heard my testimony on that Saturday. You understand where I'm coming from on that. But I had no idea what the heck I was doing whatsoever. I didn't know how to take care of myself. And the legacy that I was going to live was going to be that ultimate disgruntled veteran, mad at the world, with my children that doesn't want anything to do with me, and a wife that took off. I know Chad talked about the box, right? If you had a box of stuff and your family was given that box of stuff, what would they do with it? I know for a fact what my family would have did with it. They would have left it right there and they would have walked away. Because my character was completely flawed. Everything about me as a person, as a Marine, was completely flawed. It's because I had a complete lack of understanding what character is. In today's society, in my opinion, character is not talked about very much. It's whatever society wants to kind of drive at the moment, whatever the cool thing for culture is, right? That's what kind of determines guys' character. The only problem with that is it's ever-changing. So how do we know what's the right way, what's the right character traits to follow? So, everybody got their books? Anybody not? All right, so as Greg explained, we're going to roll through this. There's going to be areas that you're going to fill in the blanks. If I go too fast, don't worry. Everything's in the back. So you can catch up later. If you need me to repeat something, by all means, I can do that. But in like legacy is something that we're going to leave. I truly believe character is that one thing that you're going to take with you. When you're in the box, you go underground, you're going to leave the legacy with whoever's around, but you're going to take your character with you. Not your reputation, but your character. Because your character is who you truly are. Your reputation is what everybody thinks about you. Much different, right? Andy Stanley is the son of Charles Stanley, a pretty well-known pastor. Also wrote 50-something books. One of them is Louder Than Words. Quite a few of the lessons that we're going to go through, you'll get references from different books. Andy Stanley is quite a few of them, John MacArthur, just to name a few. But in this book, Louder Than Words, underneath, if you can kind of see it, the power of uncompromised living. Can anybody tell me what that thing is hanging up at the top? Plumb bob, right? I had no clue what a plumb bob was until I joined the Marine Corps. I thought it was like a wrong piece of gear or something that somebody got in with the mortar tubes. Had no clue what it was, and I literally just threw it out. Unbeknownst to me, because I was a machine gunner, mortars are tubes that shoot from really far away. They kind of hide in the back a little bit. I got stuck with them as a platoon sergeant, and I had to be corrected on what a plumb bob actually is. What does a plumb bob actually do? I'm sorry? It shows true vertical. It shows complete balance, right? It shows where everything is at as far as being in balance, being in center. So why would it be important to have a plumb bob in this reference of Louder Than Words? That statement, Louder Than Words. Our actions are louder than our words, right? How many times has somebody around you said something and didn't follow through? Anybody? How many times was that you? Yeah, exactly, right? It's very funny as a Christian when I look at guys who I encounter today. I've done more with just my way they see how I act now than anything I've ever could have told them. Just the way I act, whether that's what I share on Facebook, and I hate that thing, the only reason why I gotta keep it is because it's for work. Whether it's that, a conversation, choosing not to go out or go here or go there, what I watch on TV, all of that, simple things like that. But in this book, he says, when we have not clearly defined what character is, we have a tendency to fill the void with the hollow imitations offered by the popular culture. Without knowing it, we develop a version of character that is merely a substitute, a character of the real thing. Who knows what a character is? We've seen them probably go to the fair, you know, Disneyland, they charge like $900 for one day so they can draw you like a goofy Batman or something, right? That may or may not have happened. Not the $900, but it was close. But is that really you, though? Is that picture really you? It's exaggerated, right? But that's what we do, is we exaggerate our character. We make ourselves something, well, what we're not. So by failing to choose the proper definition of character, we choose to fail in the area of personal character. If we're not choosing what our character is, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Society. Culture. Whose father's in here? Our example is more important than I could really explain. I'm learning that very quickly. As I have a 7-year-old son, and he watches me. Every time when I think he's not watching me is when he's watching me more and more intently. And he's picking up every little thing I do, everything I say. So if I'm not choosing the right way, how do I expect him to follow in suit? So character is the will to do what is right, as defined by God, regardless of personal cost. Amy Stanley, Louder Than Words, to cap all that off. Defined by God, not by anybody else. But the true north that we can always go back in reference to. What's important about true north? It's true. It's never changing. So if we need to go and realign ourselves back to something, if you're lost, what can you do? You find that true north, and for us, we go back to the Bible, the Word, the owner's manual. It is so interesting that there's so many books. You can go on Amazon, and you can research that, you know, their whole database, and you can find thousands and thousands of books of how to get things right and do this, do that. The amount of books in there on leadership is crazy. Just when you leave here, just to kind of get a quick laugh, just do it. But in reality, there's one book that has all of that in there. There's something to be said about everything that we do that can be found in the Bible. Now, it's great to supplement by those books in case of Andy Stanley writing what he wrote. But regardless of personal cost, anybody know what the most expensive baseball card is in here? Honus Wagner. I just learned this not too long ago. It's Honus Wagner. Who knows who Honus Wagner is? Very few guys. The funny thing about Honus Wagner is he wasn't even really a good ball player. He was okay. But the important thing about him is that he stood his ground. He stood his ground and stood firm in what he believed in. Some of you guys may know this. I definitely did. I was in the era of getting baseball cards that had the bubble gum in it. But what used to come in it? Tobacco, right? And on the back, you flip over that card. What's on the back? Not his stats, but a tobacco advertisement. Honus Wagner firmly believed that tobacco, drinking, and all that stuff was not okay, especially as an athlete. That was his firm belief. He went to the people who were putting him on that baseball card and said, take me off it. I don't want to be on there. They came back and said, well, you're going to make a lot of money with this. You're going to be really famous. You're going to be able to do whatever you want. And he still said, no, take me off of those baseball cards. So the limited run of his baseball cards that went out is why that baseball card is so expensive and valued today. I actually seen this thing just recently. $3.5 million for a small card. It's crazy. But it's because he's being remembered as choosing to stand firm regardless of the personal cost, because he stood firm in what he believed in. So breaking down what character is, this is where your fill in the blanks are going to come in. So character is a predecision to do what is right, a predecision. Not a go with the flow and I'll figure it out, but a predecision. The same way when you wake up in the morning and you decide, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do what I need to do because I need to be the responsible person. There's bills to be paid, mouths to be fed, and all of that stuff. That's a predecision. We do that every single day. But a predecision also needs to be, I'm going to do what is right from the get-go. And again, what is right is determined by God. Not what I feel, but what I know. Feelings change all the time. In the past, however long I've been up here, I've had probably 10, 15 different feelings go through me. So if I went off of that, who knows? Who knows where I'd be going, what I'd be saying, what I'd be doing? So a man of character does what is right because it is right, not because it is convenient. Because it's convenient. doing it when nobody's looking. That's hard. That is really hard. I was really adamant about telling Marines, hey, it's Friday. We just got out of the field. We whooped it on. You guys did a real good job. Don't drink and drive. And then on Friday night, guess who was drinking and driving? Not one time, not two times, several. So many times that I was trying to figure out why the headlights were coming towards me when I was thinking I was driving northbound in the southbound lane of I-15. Who drives on the 15? Anybody remember a truck coming towards you? Don't raise your hand. Please forgive me if it is. But because I thought it was convenient, instead of having to go pick up my truck the next morning and have to worry about all that stuff, it was more convenient for me to get in the truck and drive home. All the way from Carlsbad, I used to live in French Valley and Winchester off of Benton, so not a short drive. But it was more convenient for me to do that instead of having to worry about going to get my truck in the next morning. Even though I knew what was right, even though I knew what I should have been doing, I chose that way. Not a good man of character. Not anything that I would want anybody to look at me and say, yeah, that's the guy I want to be right there. I was exactly the guy that says, no, I don't want to be anything like that. Now in Joshua 24, bear with me now. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods of which your fathers served. On the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you, serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I did it my way for quite some time. And look where it ended. Me driving on the northbound lane, going southbound on the I-15. And you would think that would be like a wake-up call, right? You would think that would be kind of something that was shocking, say, okay, there's some things going on. You need to figure it out. No. No, I still needed to be some more kicks in the head and punches and all that stuff before I really got it through my thick skull to understand that I can't do it my way. All the ways that I was doing it my way for me was getting me that way in all of those wonderful situations. When I'm sitting there trying to figure out how did I get here, I knew exactly how I got there because I chose to serve myself. I would buy things out of control. I would drink out of control because it was all about me. I served me. My God was me. My Ducati was a God. My truck that I dropped $30,000 in was my God. Because I was serving me. And it took a moment for me to have to chase my wife around the house because I needed my phone. And I wanted to leave, and me to get a hold of my wife and get my phone from my wife very aggressively to kind of have a wake-up call. This in my house now is right before we walk out the door. And it's something my kids know very well. There is no question about it. There is no mistake in any way, shape, or form. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not saying that things got perfect, things got 100% better, but it is definitely much better than where it used to be. And when I fall off track, because we all do, I know exactly where I need to go back to. I know what that North Star for me is, where I need to go back and revert to. I'm not just sitting there spinning around trying to grab onto the next thing, whatever the closest thing is, because that's how I ended up in a bar That's how I ended up buying more things, because we need to feed ourselves. We pull one thing out, we create a void. What do? We need to push something back in, right? It all starts on how you are as your man of character. So the profile. What's a man of character? I could go around and we can ask everybody in here, and we'll get something different, I guarantee you. The same question as, are you a man? We would get probably 99% guys say yes. The trick question is, what makes you a man? What actually makes us men? That's that golden ticket question. So breaking this down in Psalm 15, we'll go ahead and run through it. The Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? So who's worthy? That's what he's asking. Who's worthy? In reality, who is worthy? Anybody? Yeah. Nobody's worthy. But it's your responsibility to strive to be Christ-like. It's your responsibility to shape your man of character as defined by God, not by what your buddy tells you, or what you read in Men's Health, or whatever. So who may dwell? A man of integrity. He who walks uprightly. A man of integrity. If you say you're going to do it, you do what? You do it. It's simple as that. And if you can't do it, be honest with the person. Instead of trying to send them a text message saying, oh man, things came up or whatever, and you end up lying to the person, just be honest with them. You can't do it, be honest. But if you say that you're going to do something, you're going to be somewhere, you're going to help, you make a promise, you keep it. It's simple as that. The greatest way to live with honor in this world is to be what we pretend to be. Socrates. This one baffles me. That this wonderful, brilliant person, who I don't believe was a Christian of any way, shape, or form, but he gets it. He pulls exactly what we should be pulling from the Bible. That not to pull punches, but be who you truly are. It's like a lie. You start that one lie, and then what do you have to do the rest of the time? You build another lie for another lie for another lie, right? And it's funny, with my children, apparently they thought I just became a grown-up. That's how I popped out, right? And I wondered how my dad would always figure out all the goofy things I was doing. Like, I would hide the magazine under my mattress like he wasn't going to find it. So apparently that's, you know, the gold vault, like Fort Knox. Every time he would find it, and I would have to lie. No, I didn't put it there. But the way we act, it's the same exact way. When you start with that false persona, what do you have to do? You got to maintain it. And then you get so far down the road that you don't even know who you are. I deal in this veteran community now where guys have absolutely no clue which way is up and which way is down, because they've told so many different stories or did so many different things that they're just completely lost. They have no idea who their true identity is. Because we choose to wear a mask and pretend that everything's okay, because that's the man thing to do, right? Ruck it up, take Motrin, change your socks, and push on. Instead of saying, hey, I need some help. I'm not doing okay. That's not very much of a manly thing, is it? Who could actually do that? Everybody in here should be raising their hand, because you're here right now. On a Tuesday night, you're here. Where could everybody else be? Who's got things to do? Who's got work tomorrow? But you're here. You're here because you want to better yourself and answer some of those questions that you have. So this statement right here does not or should not apply to you whatsoever. So be that man of action. Be a man of action. So like leaving that legacy that we need to be intentional. We need to be strategic. We need to be able to share our successes and our failures. Because we need to be men of action. To lead courageously and reject passivity. How much does a passive man get done in a day? He couldn't even answer that question, right? But be a man of action. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. This is probably everybody has heard this before, right? And it's so funny that the majority of everybody has heard this, but do you know how many people are still sitting on their hands, waiting for somebody else to do something? It's kind of the house is on fire scene. You see the house is on fire and everybody's just standing there watching it. Not one person's thought to call 911. Why? Oh, because he'll take care of it. Somebody else will take care of it. Man of honesty. Honesty. And speaks the truth in his heart. What's the difference between integrity and honesty? Anybody? Bueller? Exactly. Integrity is what you do. It's that those being a man of action. Honesty is what you say that you're going to do. Integrity is that moment of where you come up to a stop sign in the middle of nowhere that you can see for miles and miles. Do you stop? Yeah. A man of integrity would stop. Not a rolling California stop either, but you would stop, right? And honesty is if you didn't stop and you get pulled over because you thought you didn't see anybody and that cop says, well, why didn't you stop? And you tell them exactly why you didn't stop instead of coming up with the excuse, right? The man of encouragement. This is needed more than ever. All that's needed for evil to triumph is for men to do nothing. It starts with encouragement. A simple hello, a simple how's your day going will change so many things in people. I grew up in Kentucky where literally if you didn't wave at somebody, they would stop to find out why you didn't wave. It was real odd. Because they just were really serious about wondering why you didn't wave. Because they actually wanted to know how your day was going. You do that in California and you get a whole different interaction. Unless you're driving a Jeep, because I guess everybody who drives Jeeps waves at other guys that drive Jeeps are so odd. I don't know. But a man of encouragement, he who does not backbite his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. Think about that. Who can you encourage in your day? Your wife, your children. I was riding with a really good friend of mine. He's a police lieutenant in League City, Texas. And he was talking with his son. His son is 14, I believe. And before he got off the phone with his son, he didn't say goodbye. He said, good decisions today. Good decisions today. And that stuck with me so much. I had to kind of look at him like, holy cow, man. Something as simple like that can resonate deep. And I tell my kids, good decisions. Let's have a good day. Simple things like that. Because who knows what's going on with them? Who knows what's going on with the person that's standing behind you in Walmart, that's standing really close to you and you're wondering why? Man of honor, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. In the Marine Corps, we carry around this card, or you're supposed to. It's called an honor, courage, and commitment card. It's a little red card, supposed to put in your wallet. And in the Marine Corps, we're supposed to hold true to honor, courage, and commitment. And that's like that's our foundation building blocks. I don't know how many times I just threw all that away. I give you that one instance, and we could be here till, what, how long is this thing, like 22 weeks or something? We'd be here and we'd still be going through them. There was nothing that I was doing that represented that honor, courage, commitment that card was supposed to represent. But I acted like it so much. I would walk the walk, but I surely wasn't talking the talk. I would make sure all my Marines are taken care of. I would deploy several times. I'd be the last to eat. I'd be the last to go to sleep. Because that was work. That's what was being paid. But I had no problem going out with my buddies and going and taking my ring off right before I went into the bar and putting it either in my truck glove box or my pocket. My predecision was to do not right. Had nothing to do with honor whatsoever. And a man of his word, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. If you have some issues going on, if you know for a fact there's some things inside of you you need to correct, this is that fork in the road. This is that moment. You can either stay there, you can either go right, or you can go left. But if you continue on that same path, don't wonder why you keep stepping in the same pile of stuff and your boots are still dirty. You know exactly why. You know exactly how you got there. We have a saying in Mighty Oaks that if what you're doing isn't working, then why not do something different? So if you need to do something different, find how and where you need to align yourself with the right thing rather than what's convenient at that time. And a man of generosity, he who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Who's ever pulled up to an off-ramp and that one guy's standing with a sign and you just happen to be that car right next to him in that awkward moment and you know he's staring at you? Who's actually rolled down their window and gave him money? Who kept their window up and acted like, I gotta watch the light in case it changes? I've done it. We all have that doubt of, if I give him a buck, what's he gonna do with it? If you're walking into a store, that guy asked, what's he gonna do with it? What's it gonna be used for, right? What's it matter? What's it matter? Is it really yours? And the truth, none of this stuff is ours. Whose is it? It's God's. The house that I was just able to buy in June in Menifee, it's just a place for me to live and keep my family safe. I just completely was blessed with it. The way that I got that house, I can't make it up. It was complete God blessing in all ways, shape, or form. So any way that I can make somebody's day better, I'm all for it. Because we're called to be good stewards, aren't we? Because it's not ours. And we have to remember that when we relinquish whatever it is we pass over, it's no longer ours. We have given up the responsibility and ownership of it. So when you hand over that buck to that person, it's his responsibility now. It's his. So next time you're thinking about being generous, I don't know, take a different perspective at it, of what you're going to do with it. And it's a lot different than being generous to make yourself feel better instead of wanting to make that person's days better. There's plenty of evil in the world. We don't need to keep adding to it. Now, when we add up all those things, I couldn't paint a better picture of what a man of good character should be. Not just a man of character, but a man of good character. Somebody that I would look at and say, that's who I need to follow. Nothing about that said that that man is perfect and that he's got it all figured out. But it's somebody that I can look at and say, all right, I can put some money into that guy and follow him. Because he who does these things shall never be moved. And when we know we are going to get knocked off the path, because it's going to happen, that we know exactly where we need to go back to. We know exactly what route we need to get on and realign ourselves and push forward again. Because there is the ability to bounce back. You screw up, is it the end of the world? Nope. Failure is not fatal unless you fail to what? Change. Who's failed in here? That's what I thought, right? If you didn't raise your hand, you just failed, so go ahead and raise your hand. But we all fail. It's gonna happen. There's no mystery to that. But that question is, what do we do when it happens? Where do we go after that? There's been plenty of times that I failed. I've named a few. There's been plenty of times that I failed and I did the right thing afterwards, and more than not, I've done the complete wrong thing. I did what everybody expected me to do because I had failed. Right? You could be an overnight success and ride that train for a long time, and in a moment's notice, you can be what? An overnight failure. And that overnight failure sticks a lot longer than that success did. Right? But does that mean that you give up? Does that mean you throw in your towel and say, I'm done? No. So character killers, some of these things that are going to throw us off, right? So we went through Psalms 15 and built that framework. We know what our foundation is. It's the Bible. So our framework of who a man of good character is what we looked at in Psalms 15. Well, some of the things that can break that foundation, that can knock it down. Standards that are flexible. If you have a standard and you choose not to uphold that standard, whatever it was that you chose not to uphold is your new standard. You just lowered your bar for yourself. In the Marine Corps, we would see different Marines do goofy things that we swore you didn't do. And I had a company commander that saw some Marines walk past somebody. They didn't pick up some trash. It was very obvious that they avoided it and everything. They literally walked around it. And they asked the Marine, and my company commander asked the Marines, if you would have saw another Marine do that, what would you have done? What do you think their answer was? They would have chewed them out for it. But because they were caught and they were not showing, obviously, their integrity, they just made that standard of, somebody else will get it. That's their new standard. What standards do you have that are flexible in your life? You don't have to answer that. But think about it. Are there any? Or are you standing firm like Honus Wagner was? A blurred vision of manhood. Jeremy talked in pretty good length on this on that Saturday morning. The question of why men need to fight. It's no mystery that there's plenty of men that aren't choosing to fight. And it's not a physical fight or anything like that. But choosing to stand up for what's right. There's just not many people want to do that anymore. I don't understand why. Why is because it's hard? No, I firmly believe it's because we have this blurred vision of what is right. and what manhood actually looks like. It shortcuts to manhood and maturity. Everybody wants it fast, right? Who gets mad when their iPhone won't turn on fast enough? Right? You can't get Wi-Fi. Or you only got, I don't know, one bubble instead of the four or whatever. Because we live in this age of we need it now, we need it right now. If you sit in the drive-thru at McDonald's for more than 2 minutes, oh man, the world's going to end. Right? And we adopt that same mentality into our life. My daughter is 10, thinking that she is 21. Scares the everything out of me. Because I recently found out how easily this whole sex trafficking thing is, and how easily a young child can be sucked into there just by something that's super innocent. And now my daughter, I don't know, for whatever reason, wants to fast forward into grown-up land. But because I chose to set that precedence in my house way before, I can't really get mad at it. I showed her when things get tough, when you don't get your way, what do? You throw a tantrum. That's what my wife calls them, Brandon tantrums. And that's what I do. I literally flip out because I didn't get my way or didn't get to buy whatever. And now I'm wondering why my daughter is doing the same exact thing. An unguarded mind. In that iPhone that I reference, you have access to everything and anything at a swipe. It was crazy that I had the epiphany that if I'm watching pornography on my phone, my son plays with that same exact phone. And it's pretty impressive how quickly kids today can figure this stuff out. My buddy John over here works with me. He just figured out how to turn on his computer. But kids today, it's amazing that they can figure this stuff out in like seconds. I thought I was okay tech savvy. I had no clue what some of this stuff can do now. But it made so much sense to me when I looked at that. I wasn't choosing to guard myself from the things that I was scrolling on my phone, to friends that I had on Facebook, to some of the pages that I liked, Instagram, holy cow, get that out of here. The TV shows, in a change of a channel, you can ruin your whole day. It's pretty crazy. Just like the same things that you eat and you put into yourself, you're going to get the benefit or the not. If you're eating fast food all day, every day, what results are you going to get? Probably not good, right? But if you're watching your diet, eating healthy, probably feel a little bit better. You extend your life potentially. The same way I was wondering why I wanted to punch a baby after I would listen to Slipknot and go to the gym. What do you put inside of your head, your mind, your body will determine what comes out, whether you choose to or not. That TV show that you think is, it's just a TV show. But let's be honest, how crazy has TV shows been getting? Just commercials in general. I know I had a huge lust problem. I had my daughter buy an affair. I had no problem, like I said, taking off my ring and going to the bar, or the gas lamp or somewhere. And I had no problem watching pornography. In the Marine Corps, that's the culture, it's what you do. As a man who is trying to be Christ-like, not okay. And I still struggled with it. And to the point where I just said, you know what, it's enough's enough. I had to cut it out. I had to go in and unfriend people on Facebook, which I guess that ruins their world or something. I don't know. I really want to blow up Facebook, but I digress. But I really had to take a hard look at how I guarded myself, because that's where it starts. You get that one little drop of that thought in there, and you're just like, it's okay. The next thing you know, you're back on that same path that you were just fighting so hard to get off of. Friends that are foolish. In 2004, I deployed to a place called Fallujah. I was assigned to Echo Company, 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines. I had some of the best friends I've ever had in my entire life in that platoon that I was with. We used to go out all the time, and we would wreak havoc everywhere we went. I no longer go out with any of those guys anymore. Four of them live within like 5-minute drives of me. I'm not saying that I unfriended them, but I chose that I knew that I couldn't go out with them because they're not on the same path that I am. They're not equally yoked like I am. I had to surround myself with guys that are on the same mission and the same path as I. Then, like I said, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to them and saying, hey, I know where you're going to end up. I know what path they're going down to, going down. And it sucks because they don't, you know, they're just like me, hard-headed and not wanting to listen. But I had to completely pull myself away from friends that are foolish. A disconnection from authentic relationship with other men. Who do you know that's around you that you're equally yoked with? Guys that you can share and be honest with. We haven't went through it yet, but we're going to go through brotherhood. And you have to ask yourself, what are some of some of those guys that you know for a fact that you can count on? Not to come over and help move something real quick, but that time when you know for a fact you're about to lose it all, that person you can call at a moment's notice and they'll be there. Who has that in here right now? And notice the hands. That's not uncommon. Why? Because we're men. And we'll break our back before we ask for help, right? I don't know how many times I've done that. My wife's, why don't you just call somebody? No, I got it. Next thing you know, I'm going to the ER because I dislocated something, right? But it's so easy to not ask for help because we got this. But you have to really find those guys that you can say, look, I don't got this. Can you help me? That's not overnight. That just doesn't miraculously happen. But you have to be intentional on that. You have to be intentional and honest. So usually when we do this program with the guys, this is the third class. The class before it, we have discipline. And I always talk about discipline in our realm because we're a post-traumatic stress program for veterans. In some of the classes that you will see in that Fight Club book, we're talking about margin, money and possessions and all these things, right? And these guys were like, well, I came here to figure out post-traumatic stress. Why do I need to figure out anything about money and possessions, right? Well, character, money and possessions, character, margin, do they not intertwine with each other? Every way, shape, and form. Because again, like I said, it's the framework. And when you get the discipline class, just a little nugget of knowledge to throw in the back of your brain, just remember what discipline is going to do. Discipline is going to hold all these classes together. It's the nails, the screws, all that stuff that's going to hold the framework together. But really walk away from here tonight, and I challenge you. Challenge your character. I'm not saying that you need to figure it out overnight, that you need to figure out how to become perfect, but what can you do to improve yourself in this area of character? Because it's going to be what propels all the other things into place. And what kind of legacy are you going to live if you're not going to be a man of good character? Gentlemen, I can't say how awesome it is to come here on a Tuesday night and see a room full of guys. When I say this doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, especially in the realm that John and I see so often, in the veteran community, just other areas that we go when we speak in churches and everything. So please take it as a very heartfelt, you guys are awesome, that you would choose on a Tuesday night to come in here and choose to fight, because other guys aren't. Thank you.